Greetings in the name of Jesus. Welcome to each one present tonight. You can open your Bibles tonight to Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount will be our text tonight. The title of the message is based on the closing verses of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to just read those verses first of all. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Reminds us of a very familiar children's song, The Wise Man and the Foolish Man. And while it is a children's song tonight, I'd like you to think about how real it is for us as adults as well. Jesus compares the sayings that he's talking about in verse 24 are, I believe, the sayings in chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And he's saying that if you hear these sayings and do them, then you will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. We know something about building houses. I don't know how much you know. But I think most of you know where we begin when we build a house. The first thing we do is dig in the ground. We dig in the ground and we get down deep below the frost line and we put in a footer, either with concrete or blocks or something that will support and sustain the house and keep it in a solid place. And that's our way, modern way perhaps, of building a house on a rock. Do you know what happens if you try to build a house without a footer? I've seen that done in Missouri and some other places that I've been in my life where people have tried to build houses on skids, and it will work. But there is a lot of disadvantages to it, as you will find if you ever try it. There are a lot of things that move and don't stay stable that way, and it affects a lot of things in your house. We like it to be solid on a footer. Apparently, in Bible times, they understood that as well. And Jesus said, if you obey these sayings, you are like a man that is building a natural house, and he's setting it on a rock. Opposed to that is the man that's foolish. And he says, I don't need a rock. That's too hard to dig on. That's too hard to get settled on. Here's a pile of sand. I'll just build my house right on top of the sand. And sand is usually close to the water. And so when there's floods and storms, you know what happens. The sand washes slowly out under the house. It may take years. Probably will take years. Probably could stand for a long time and look like any other house, like the house on the rock. But as the floods come and the storms come, slowly but surely, what is underneath the house holding it up is tore away. I have 10 points taken from the Sermon on the Mount tonight. And I'm only touching the surface. There's at least 50 points that you could make out of this. But I've picked out ones that I believe we need in our day. I'm sure we need them all, but I went through them and picked out the ones that stuck out to me. Maybe it would be the way I should say it. There's lots of sermon material here, Brother Stanley. You can keep on going after I leave. There's plenty of it here in Matthew chapter 5. I would challenge all of you in the outstart. The Sermon on the Mount should be read often by every Christian. It's not very big. It's a quick read. You can read it all in one sitting. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you're a fast reader, you can read it in about 10 minutes. If you're a slow reader, it might take you 20. But that's all. And I think we ought to read it again and again and again. Because it is Jesus' words telling us many practical things about life. But I'd like to think about tonight is my life, I believe Jesus is comparing a life to a house, is my life, is your life, and this is the title, on the rock or on the sand? Which is it tonight? Which have you been building on? On the rock or on the sand? My first point is taken from Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I worded the point this way. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness tonight? Jesus is saying that if you are, if you're really hungry for the things of God, if you really want to know what He has to say, then you are building on the rock. How are our Bible reading habits? How have they been in the last 6 months of our life? What do you learn when you read from the Bible? What are you willing to change? How has your church attendance been? How often have you missed church when there is a service? How about your attention in Sunday school classes? How about your youth's interest in attending Bible schools? All of those things and many more that you can list are telling us something about how hungry you are. And Jesus is saying that if you're hungry and you're thirsting after righteousness, you're building on the rock. Point number two, I take from verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I worded it this way. Are you being a peacemaker? In the tumultuous world that we live in the endless perplexities and church struggles, there is a dire need for peacemakers. Peacemakers. Are you and I that today? Remember Isaac in the Old Testament when he had opposers that stole his well after he spent hours digging it, maybe days, I don't know, dug it by hand. They said, "This is our well." And I said, move over, over to another spot and dig another well. And they came again and they said, "This is our well." And he moved again, quietly to the next spot. Remember Isaac. And he found God's blessing. Jesus is promising us that if we are peacemakers, we find God's blessing. I remember very clearly as a little boy, something my dad did that has always stuck in my mind. My father's not living anymore, but I can remember this very vividly. We had a neighbor. He was a good neighbor most of the time, but one of the things the neighbor always had trouble with was boundary lines. And we had a boundary line that went through 100-acre woods, and half of it was my dad's and half of it was the neighbor's. And my dad had a lot of timber in his woods, and so he got the logger in to log the trees out. And I remember the evening the neighbor came driving in recklessly in our driveway and was very angry and upset because he had been up there and the logger cut three of his trees. And so we went up to look. And my dad clearly thought that the loggers had cut the trees on his side of the line, but the neighbors were sure they were on his side.
my dad said, well, you just come over whenever you're ready, whichever evening you like. My dad had about 80 acres of woods, and there was a lot of other trees in the woods. He said, we'll pick out three trees, whichever three you want. In the whole woods, you can have whichever three you want, and they'll be yours. The three that were cut were smaller than a lot of the trees in my dad's woods. And I remember riding around with my dad and the neighbor, and he was trying to figure out which three trees he wanted. But you know, he never did take those three trees. Peacemakers, we need them today. In church life, we need them in neighborly life. May God help us to be peacemakers. Chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Point number three, are you letting your light shine? Jesus wants you to let your light shine. He says that if you will let your light shine, that is a way that you can build on the rock. Are you letting your light shine? Young people in your home, are you letting your light shine to your younger siblings? Can they look at you as a Christian and say, well, that is, I appreciate my older brother or sister for who they are and what they are doing. They're walking in the path of Jesus. Or do they look at us and say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. It's a way you can let your light shine. Are you sympathetic to the unfortunate, the poor, the multitudes of one-parent homes in our communities? Are you sympathetic to them? Another way to let your light shine. I was glad to see the interest in a few of the black children that were here last evening, and that was a sign to me that some of your members are interested in letting their light shine. And that is a way that you can build your life on the rock. Tract work, prison work, everyday walk of life. Do people see you as someone walking in Jesus' steps? Point number four, verses 38 to 42. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I titled this, Are You Resisting Evil? Jesus says, resist not evil. If someone strikes you on the one cheek, turn the other. If someone sues you at the law, give him more than he asked for. The end of chapter 7 and verse 28, it says that Jesus' audience, the people in his audience were astonished at his doctrine. Are you and I beginning to be astonished at his doctrine when he tells us hard things to do? He talks about going the second mile. In Bible times, the Roman soldiers were known to travel the footpaths. Everybody traveled by foot. So you could be out walking on a path.
You could be a young person or an old person. Didn't matter who you were, you saw a Roman soldier coming. Maybe you were going the opposite way he was. And he got to you and he had a bag over his shoulder. And he got to you and he threw down the bag on the ground. He said, "Carry it a mile." And you had to. There was no question. You picked up the bag and you carried it a mile. It didn't matter if you were going the other direction. Didn't matter if you had an appointment to make. You carried the bag a mile. That was under Roman law. The people that Jesus was talking to understood that very well. They hated the Romans. They didn't like carrying the bag a mile. Jesus said, "Carry it the second mile." Are you resisting evil? Are you ready to give more than is asked from unreasonable people? Resist not evil. Point number 5, verse 43 to 48. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." I titled this point, "Are You Loving Your Enemy?" Are you loving your enemy? Jesus says, if a man curses you, turn around and bless him. If he hates you, do good to him. If he despitefully uses you or persecutes you, go home and pray for him. That's the way you build your life on the rock. Hating your enemy is building on the sand. Loving your enemy is building on the rock. Point number 6. Somehow I didn't have the reference written down for this one. But you will find it, I'm sure. It is, are you fasting in secret? Jesus tells his followers how to fast. Someone already mentioned this evening how they were to wash their face. Jesus says, wash your face. Don't let anyone know that you're fasting. They like to show that they were fasting. Jesus says, fast in secret. God will reward you openly. I ask you, are you fasting in secret? Jesus says that's how to build on the rock. We understand very well how we must eat physical food to live. And from the human perspective, we might think that the more we eat, the stronger we become. But Jesus says, if you fast, there will be strength. God will reward you openly. Point number 7, taken from chapter 6, verse 19 through 34. I'll let you look over those verses. I'll not read them. They're familiar to you. I will read a few other accounts that are somewhat parallel to it that give us some other direction on it. I simply titled it this way, "Are You Laying Up Treasures in Heaven?" To lay up treasures in heaven is to build on the rock. To lay up treasures on earth is to build on the sand. Turn to Luke chapter 12. You can keep your fingers in Matthew. We're coming back. But Luke chapter 12 gives us a little story that I believe makes it very clear what Jesus is talking about. Sometimes it's good to look in a number of passages. I consider this a parallel passage. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast made much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man was hoarding material possessions instead of laying up treasures in heaven. The opposite of what we're talking about. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, reads like this, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Matthew chapter 19, and verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Luke chapter 12. And verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you believe tonight that God is able to provide all these things? Do you believe that if you are interested in kingdom work and you're busy doing it, that God can add the other things into your life? Have you given God a chance to show himself strong in your life? Have you taken any chances with God? So how do we make deposits in the heavenly treasure house? Jesus said, are you laying up treasures in heaven? If you are, then you're building your house on the rock, and it's going to last. If you're not laying up any treasures in the heavenly treasure house, then you're building on the sand, and your house isn't going to stand. There's a verse in Proverbs 13, verse 7. It reads like this. I'm thinking about how to make deposits in the heavenly treasure house. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. How do we deposit in the heavenly treasure house? I believe we deposit by choosing to give up something that humanly appears to make me poor or vulnerable. Humanly appears, I said. I need to give up something in my life that humanly appears to be something that would make me poor or vulnerable, but it actually spiritually transfers deposits to the heavenly account. And what is that that I can give up? There's some simple things. A song instead of anger. A song instead of complaining. You know, something happens and you have a right to be angry. You have a right to complain, you say, and you choose to give that right up and to sing. That's a way to deposit into the heavenly kingdom. A mother giving up her hobbies because of the little children she has to take care of. That's a way to deposit in the heavenly kingdom. A smile in the midst of false accusations. A smile in the midst of stress. When we're sure that we are right and we've been falsely accused and we choose to smile and lay it down for Jesus' sake. That's a deposit in the heavenly kingdom. A volunteer day of labor for a needy neighbor or a needy brother is a way to deposit in the heavenly treasure house. A day in evangelistic efforts. Money in the offering plate. The giving of a whole life for missionary service. It's a way to deposit in the heavenly kingdom. Years or months given in voluntary service, teaching school, helping Cam with a cleanup project, working in a children's home for little or no pay. For what? To deposit in the heavenly kingdom. A father selling off his assets to provide money for the brother assistant's needs, his excess assets. Why would he do that? To deposit in the heavenly kingdom. Back to our text in Matthew chapter 6. And to the stories that I just read, you're thinking about that rich young ruler that came to Jesus. I really wonder, in America, what Jesus would have to say to some of the men
in our midst, if they would come and ask Jesus the same question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I really believe that he would have the same answer for some of us as he had for that young man. It's good for us to think about that.
That man's life was wrapped around his treasures. Is your life wrapped around your treasures? If they are, if your life is, Jesus would say the same thing to you. The same thing.
Lay not. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He also says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Can we just do both?
That's what I want to do. I want to lay up some treasures for myself here on this earth. And I want to lay up some treasures in the heavenly kingdom. But Jesus says, don't do the one and do the other. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that will help you to build on the rock, Christ Jesus? We love. We're tempted to love fashionable houses, land and farms, expensive automobiles, gun collections, antique collections. What would Jesus say when he saw them? Would he say you could do both?
Point number 8. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I think I'll stop there. There's three words in here that Jesus says. Ask, seek, and knock.
I worded it this way. Are you persistent in prayer?
Am I persistent in prayer?
Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul,
ask, seek, and knock. Are you persistent in prayer? That's building on the rock tonight. Point number 9, chapter 7 and verse 12. Very familiar verse. Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. Perhaps we know it better from Luke 6:31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I title this, Are You Practicing the Golden Rule? You know, we teach this verse to our children, and we tell them this is how they should relate together. We tell them, you know, how would you like that child to treat you? We do that with our children. It's a simple lesson. It's pretty easy to understand. How do you want other people to treat you? Treat them that way. It's simple, yet it's profound, and yet it's extremely difficult to live out in adult life. What would this do to negative sister-to-sister relationships in church life? What would this do to negative neighbor-to-neighbor relationships? What would this do to negative board members, to other board members, relationships, teacher-student relationships, employee-employer relationships, child-to-mother relationships, minister-to-lay member, bishop-to-minister, businessman-to-customer? What would it do for that? If every one of us would do unto him as we would like him to do to us. That's building on the rock. Point number 10, I take from chapter 7, verse 13 to 14.
Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Are you entering the strait gate? Jesus alludes here to two natural ways in Bible times. They were the public ways and the private ways. Ways, that word ways in Bible times is similar to our word right away. We might call it a public right away. And a public way was 16 cubits wide or 24 feet wide. A private way was 4 cubits wide or the equivalent of 6 foot wide. So you get the idea real quickly. These are footpaths that people walk on instead of roads. And here we have a 24-foot one, and here we have a 6-foot one. The public ways and the private ways. And Jesus says, enter in at the straight gate, and that word straight means narrow. So what is the narrow way? Well, it is the way that we've been talking about all evening in all of the points above. It is the way that opposes our flesh and our human inclinations. And it is believing God and what He says, believing God and our spiritual counselors. It is hungering after righteousness. It is letting our light shine. It is resisting not evil. It is loving your enemy. It is fasting in secret. It is laying up treasures in heaven. And it is doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the narrow way. The way that our flesh doesn't like. It is the way that the people who were standing by Jesus. I'll read that verse again in the end. The people were astonished at His doctrine. Are you astonished tonight by what God wants you to do? That is the narrow way. What is the broad way? Think of opposites sometimes that help us to understand the other as well. The broad way is a way that is full of the get-even mentality. It is the way of the flesh, the way I want to do automatically, humanly speaking. It is also the way of mockery. Those who mock belief in the Bible. Those who mock spiritual counselors. Those who mock their parents. Because of their belief in the Bible. That is the broad way. But the broad way leads to the way of death. Tonight, are you building on the rock or on the sand? What do you see as you look back at your life when you compare it with the words of Jesus? Which are you doing, building on the rock or on the sand? Your life is likened to a house. And just as houses have storms like we have outside tonight, the wind and the storm, so your life is going to have a lot of storms in it. And if you're a young person tonight, maybe you haven't fully caught what all of those storms are, but they're coming at you. And if your foundation and your life is not being built on the rock, you will not stand. You will fall in the storms of life. The poet put it this way. Are you building on the rock, high above the sandy beach, where no sudden wave can shock, where no beating tide can reach? Are you hearing and obeying? Are you working, watching, praying. Tell me, does your dwelling stand on the rock or on the sand? Years like tides will come and go. Tell me, are you very sure that they will not overthrow much that seemed at first secure? Lay with patience, faith and prayer, your foundations deep and wide. Build thereon with watchful care, far above the angry tide. Are you hearing and obeying? Are you working, watching, praying? Tell me, does your dwelling stand on the rock or on the sand?